speaker for this evening, and that's Jeff Y. from San Diego.
I'm Jeff, alcoholic. Yeah. Sounded like a much better idea before I saw how many people were here. You know, I've had this rash, and give it time, okay? I'm really curious how she does sarcasm. So I got this rash, and I can't get rid of the rash. We keep going to the doctor, and we can't get rid of this rash. So finally, I go to the doctor the other day, and he says, okay, I think we know what it is. And the only way we'll really know is you can't have any sunlight for the next 30 days. Wow, that's really super. So I tell my sponsor, I said, hey, I guess I got to be in the, you know, can't be in the sunlight for the next 30 days, you know, to try and get rid of this rash. And he says, God, it's a good thing you have that hoist in your room now. You can hang like a bat. And I... So, I can remember the other time I asked him for some medical information. I had told him I had vertigo and I was feeling kind of dizzy. You know, when I sat up real quick, everything would go out of control. And he said, well, you've got experience with that. Cover one eye and put one foot on the floor. I think I'm trying to tell you is, my sponsor's pretty good with this whole sobriety thing, but he ain't worth a crap for medical advice. Before I get going too much here, my home group is La Mesa Men's, and a whole bunch of my guys are here. You probably noticed them. They were the odd ones. If you were women, they were probably staring. A couple of them drool. And what I need to tell you is, if I were in that foxhole of sobriety, I can't think of any guys I would rather be with than my boys from La Mesa Men's. And I want to thank each and every one of those guys, man. Before I get to my favorite part, which of course is me, when, you know, I was taught when I was new that it really didn't count as service unless it was inconvenient. And so I do want you to know putting on this suit and the tie was incredibly inconvenient for me tonight. Just in case you're keeping score, this counts as service for me. But along the way, something kind of happened, and that was, you might have noticed, the wheelchair. I forgot to mention that part. So I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous in the wheelchair. I have muscular dystrophy, and it happens over time. And so the last, I don't know, 5-6 years I've been in the wheelchair, and it makes things a little bit more difficult at the house. And so when I talk about being inconvenient and getting service points, I always got to kind of mention the wife, because if it isn't for the wife, I don't get dressed, I don't get my hair combed, I'm not here tonight speaking. And she should get the round of applause. So, I'd prefer hers wasn't longer than mine. I think she's doing her own talk. I know. So, I don't blame her. I would. Where am I going with this tonight? Because I can't go outside, I was home all day today thinking, wow, it'd be really great to go outside. And so instead what I did was I was doing a little meditating, and, you know, so I came here thinking, I am going to be one really spiritual dude tonight, right? Then I saw Dave, and anyway, that's gone. I've lost all the serenity I have now. I don't know where to begin with this whole alcohol thing. I could talk drunk stories all evening long with you because I got a bunch of them. The good news, if you're new, is that you don't ever have to drink again. The bad news is you need the gift of desperation to probably be able to do that, and I hope you got that. There's no real secrets here in Alcoholics Anonymous. The secret is that we do a lot of action around here, and we read the book, and we work the steps, and we follow this fellowship, and there's something even bigger than that, is we find a power greater than ourselves, and I choose to call that God. And if there's a question in your mind, you might want to look into that book, because the book says finding a power greater than ourselves is exactly what that book is about. So I'm not just making this up tonight, okay? I'll make up a lot of other stuff tonight, but that isn't the one. And if you're a long-timer, an old-timer, the bad news is we just do this same thing over and over again. You know, you don't go into the advanced, you know, into intentions type of stuff. You know, you just I've been around here 31 years, and it's like we keep going back to that same thing, you know? But I do want to mention something before I get going too much in here, is that my good friend Barry talks a lot about the buffet line of Alcoholics Anonymous, is what he likes to call it. That buffet line is that there's so much more you can do here in Alcoholics Anonymous than just not drink. There's so much more. And he talks about stopping at that bologna sandwich, and it's a good bologna sandwich, and not drinking is good. But if you're willing to do the other work and you're willing to do what I think is the most important thing in here in Alcoholics Anonymous, is that search, where we continue to search for God, is where we learn how to be happy, joyous, and free. The problem is that you can't really truly be free, happy, joyous, until you're truly free. Which always leads me to that next thing, is what my sponsors always said was, how free do you want to be? And sometimes not as free as others. My alcoholism, man, when I first came into, my family is a little bit strange. I have one grandma that was, you ate at the table, and that there was, you know, the napkins weren't even paper, they were cloth, and you sat there with your hands on your lap, and, you know, I mean, it was, you didn't get up until it was, may I be excused, to clear the table. And then I went over to the other grandma's, and she drank tall burgies and smoked L&M's and wanted to go, you ready to arm wrestle? And I can promise you, we had some beers at a very young age. And my buddies like to go by there in junior high. They really like grandma. A lot of the grandmas had cookies, but you can't beat them tall burgies. So anyway, I loved sports. I loved all that, but I never really fit, you know. I kind of wanted to be that jock, but I wasn't, you know. And in high school, I finally found my way, man. I found, you know, that when I drink, I get much better looking. I get, that wasn't the funny part. You know, I get funnier, I get smarter, I get more confident, and I loved alcohol. I loved it from the very first time. And I think the very first time I drank, I got drunk. The very first time I think I threw up. The first time I think I blacked out. And I wanted more. You know, I'm that guy. You know, there's never enough. And you know, I was talking to Dave here a while back, and he said, you know, we have kind of different lives. You know, is that I didn't really think about it, but I was pretty spoiled. You know, and you know, I've been all over the world. You know, my parents divorced when I was pretty young, but my dad would set up aluminum plants all over the world. So I got to cause havoc in just about every country, you know, in Europe, South America, Iran, I mean, I have caused some real hell. I thought when they were doing this whole amends thing that I might have to get a hold of Radio Free Europe or something to start doing some of that. But that's the good news about blackouts. You don't really remember much. I do know every time I blacked out that I never remember, like, helping nuns across the street or anything. You know what I mean? It was never good, you know? My parents, my dad, bless his heart, he tried everything he could do. I just really liked to drink. I gave my life to alcohol. I don't know if you understand that. I mean, it wasn't just a career, it was my life. And because it worked and it solved all my problems. And one day it seemed like it quit working. You know, and I didn't know what to do. And I ended up moving to South Carolina. I quit my job. I love quitting jobs. I was better at quitting jobs when I was drinking, but I still really enjoy quitting jobs. But I was at my dad's one night, and he said that he wanted me to bathe and shave and everything, and because they were having company. And so I did. And so he had this man there from South Carolina, and he said, you know, if you want a job, I'd really like you to come along with me. You know, well, I got a job for you in South Carolina. And I thought, finally, someone has recognized the talents of a guy like me, you know, wanting to take me aboard and bring me back there. We'll get that thing running pretty smooth by the time I get back there. And so I thought about it. I said, Dad, do you think he was serious? And he said, oh, he kept mentioning it a couple of times after you left. So I decided I would go there. Now, looking back, I've got an indication that perhaps my dad might have had some influence in that job. Okay? I'm thinking he probably said, please, I'll do anything. You know, I can't imagine this guy thinking, wow, I could really use a kid like with a drug and alcohol problem that's really screwed up. Man, that'd turn our company around, you know? So I'm off to South Carolina, and the sad thing about that was that when I got there, I thought I was going to start a whole new life, man. It was going to be different this time around. And I did it a couple of weeks. I didn't drink and kind of got the house all together, and it was organized, and I thought, now what do you do? There isn't much else to do. I think I'll just go have a couple of drinks, and I'll do like a lot of the normal people do, is where you have a couple of drinks, and then you call it an evening. And it was on, you know? It was on. We were talking about this the other night. They were, you know, the commercial. And the guy says, you know, the most interesting man. And he says, you know, I don't always drink beer. But when I do drink beer, I become homeless. You know, stay thirsty, my friend. Yeah. Yeah, try that one. I knew I could stump you on that one. So anyway, no news really to you is that I got back there and the problem had come along with me, man. And they had all-night bars, and I was, for some reason, I was able to keep the job, but I just drank. I drank all the time. And it got worse, and it got worse. And one day I got a call from my little sister that she was dying of cancer. And I thought, you know, for once in your life, Jeff, why don't you do something? Besides, it was getting a little warm back there. I have a attendance problem. So I decided I would come back and I'd try and be there for Lori. When I got back here, I had a bad evening. The police found me. It's really tough when you're trying to explain to them, I really don't know where I'm going. But it sounded really good when I started the journey. And when the police were talking to me when I got pulled over, I did say, man, I am screwed up. It was damning evidence, damning. And so here I am in jail. You know, I came back here to be with my little sister and to help her, and I'm just doing the same thing I've always done. So I'm in trouble. And so she wants to go along to court with me, you know. But before I did that, I thought to myself, you know, a couple of years before I'd left for South Carolina, this guy came by my house, and he said, hey, Jeff, I'm on my way to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Would you like to come along? And I thought, no. No, I don't think I've ever thought of that at all. As a matter of fact, I'm a little offended because it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I haven't even been to bed yet. And I've got a man-sized bottle of vodka and a man-sized bottle of Kahlua, and I got enough accelerants to keep the block going for a week. Why would I go to Alcoholics Anonymous? Well, now I'm in a little bit of trouble with the courts here, and I thought, you know what I need to do? I'm going to look up that guy that said that about Alcoholics Anonymous. He's got to have an in, I would think. I mean, he doesn't drink. What else could he do? So I called him up, and I said, hey, I got in some trouble, and I was wondering if we could talk. And he said, yeah, come on over. And so I went over to his house, and, oh, it got really awkward. He was, like, really honest, and he was airing a lot of dirty laundry and stuff, and I finally had to stop him. It was like, whoa, you know, this is really awkward, you know, with you doing this. And to be really honest with you, I don't really want to stop drinking. What I'd really like you to do is go to court and tell them that I want to stop drinking, you know. And he got weird. I mean, he got real defensive, and it was like, you know, people in Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. And you know what? I'd just soon go to court and lie for you than to drag you in there around those people. Those are good people, and they've saved my life, and they've saved a lot of people's life. And we sure don't need people like you around. And I'm like, you don't own AA. You don't own it. If I wanted to go to an AA meeting, I'd go to an AA meeting. And the next thing you know, we were driving to some AA meeting. And I went to that first AA meeting, and I don't remember too much. I remember glancing at the steps, and I knocked most of those out that evening. And things were moving okay, and it was over, and I thought, okay, good, now we can get out of here. And just about that time, two large men started holding my hands. Not that there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not me. And then they started doing the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's where I drew the line. You know, I'm not probably coming back to this. This is ridiculous. You know, I'm glad it's working for you guys, but, you know, this isn't for me. And so we went back home, and everyone wants to talk about the program and all that. And he said something about going to another meeting. And I had said, well, you know, I was thinking, Joe, I was thinking maybe what I really need instead of, like, AA is, like, a really good attorney is what I, you know, I mean, takes me a while, but I catch up on some of this thinking I'm in a lot of trouble again. And so he said, what a coincidence. One of the guys just that we have dinner with before the meeting, he's an attorney. You can talk to him. And you're thinking, wow, the hits just keep coming. You know, this will be great. We'll just all go together. So, off we go again. Well, actually, I'd made the mistake. I said an attorney. I didn't say a good attorney. And I got my friend John Edward. Anyway, so he said to me, when you go to court, just tell him, you know, did you get a blood test? And I said, no. And he said, well, when you go, just make sure, you know, ask him for the blood test. And if it's anything under, you know, 1.1, you know, 1.1, well, you should be good. You know, and then come back, just plead not guilty. So I went in and I said, okay. So I pled not guilty, and the judge said, do you want to know your blood alcohol? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, 0.24, you're high for the day. And I didn't think he really needed to yell that out, but I thought we could probably quicken this up a little bit. And I said, why don't I just change that plea to guilty? And one of the sad things when I keep thinking about that 0.24 is I wasn't celebrating anything different. I wasn't down. It was just another day, man. Just happened to overshoot the mark a little bit that night, is all. Yeah. I was talking to Joe is my sponsor, still my sponsor today. And I was able to ask him one time, I said, out of curiosity, how come you came by that morning and invited me to go to Alcoholics Anonymous? And he said, well, I kept driving by your house and your furniture was all in the front yard. And then the grass was growing up over the couch and you know, I had a party and you get busy. And so I get it. Now I know why he came by then. So then, you know, along the way, I got a lot of little lessons here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was one of the lessons, I remember he kept talking about the disease of perception. And I've got this real bad problem of seeing the bad. I'm a pretty negative guy. And so I remember one time I was driving with my Aunt Wilma, and I just love my Aunt Wilma, the kindest person I've ever met in my life until I met my wife. And we're driving along, and my Aunt Wilma was always positive about everything. She always saw the good. And we were driving down the road, and there was this homeless couple holding hands walking down the street. And the guy looked like he hadn't taken a bath in years, like Jay. And we bring him as an example, you know. You know, we used to use Jim for a long time, but now we just have Jay stand up. And we're driving down the street, and my Aunt Wilma sees us. We see these homeless couple, they're holding hands, and he hasn't taken a bath forever, and this lady isn't very attractive, and her hair is all matted down, and they're all dirty. And we drive by, my Aunt Wilma says, isn't that beautiful? She does the look. All right. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to call her on it. You know, and I said, okay, Aunt Wilma, I got to call you on this one. And she giggled, and she said, what do you mean? And I said, what did you see beautiful in that? And she said, God made someone for everyone. Yeah, it's a little corny. So that was so the chicks dig me. That's all that was for. So yes, he's got a sensitive side. So the next thing that comes to mind is that here I am tonight, and I think Andrew was giving me crap for wearing the tie. And so I want to tell you a little story about ties in Alcoholics Anonymous. Is that when I had a little bit of time in Alcoholics Anonymous, I got offered a job. And one of these jobs said that I had to wear a tie. And I told my sponsor I was going to turn it down. And he said, why are you going to turn it down? I said, because I don't have to wear a tie. I'm not a conformist. You know, that's what... You know, I don't live like that, you know. And he said, yeah, I get that, except that you really need a job. And I said, yeah, but I don't bow down to no one, you know. I don't need to wear a tie and stuff. And he said, Jeff, there's something else going on. What is it, man? And I said, I don't know how to tie a tie. No one ever told me how to tie a tie. And my sponsor said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Harris's. I want you to buy a clip-on tie. I want you to go to that job. And so I went and I got a clip-on tie and I went to this job. And then that Friday night he invited me over and he said he needed my help with something. And when I got there, there was a box on the table and it was all wrapped up. And when I thought, I like gifts. So I go and I open up this gift, and there's all these ties. He'd gone through his closet and he bought all these ties, and he said, "Jeff, there's another part to this gift. I'm going to teach you how to tie a tie. Come on, buddy." And so into the bathroom we went, into the front of the mirror, and we learned how to tie a tie. You know, I'm honored to wear a tie in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I came here with so many skills, lacking so many skills, and luckily for me is that I still have the hunger for Alcoholics Anonymous. I still hunger to try to get better. I still hunger, you know, to get more spiritual. I still have that hunger. And I hope you get that. I hope you get that, and I hope you keep that. You know? It goes back to that whole buffet thing. You know? Keep moving down the line, but don't settle. Just keep moving. You know? Along the way, you know, I had, my sponsor kept telling me, you know, that I had a lot of potential, but I'd heard that a lot of times from counselors. He's got so much potential. But he's so confused. But anyway, so I had said one time that I had decided I just wanted to be on the radio. That's all I ever wanted to do. And so I ended up going back to school, and I ended up getting to live this dream of being on the radio. Okay? Oh, I can do the radio thing, man. You know, good times, great oldies, Cola 99.9. But if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, none of those things happen in my life, because I'm the guy that says all the things I'm gonna do. But the fact of the matter is that I am scared to death to try anything, because my self-esteem is so low that I think if I don't succeed, I am a total failure. So I never try anything. I just settle. My whole life is all about settling. Wow. A long time ago I ate some acid. I thought it was bunk, but I just came onto it, I think. But I'm back. Wow, there are benefits, aren't there? Wow, I've got so many things I could tell you about. I'm blanking. I think what I want to make sure is that the new guys and the new gals, and there were 20 of you tonight, 20, is that I wish I had something magic to tell you. I wish I had some magic to steer you. I wish I had something there, but we can't keep you sober and we can't get you drunk. You know, that's a God thing. What I do hope is that I brought you a little bit of hope. It's about what all we got here is a little bit of hope. You know, met a lot of good people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Matter of fact, I was talking to someone today and said, you know, the only time I wear this suit, it seems like, is to speak at Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and go to funerals. And then there's good news that goes along with that is that because of Alcoholics Anonymous, a lot of those funerals are people that I became very, very close with. Mm-hmm. Closer than I am with my own family. It's very different. Yeah. It's very different. I had a friend of mine. I sponsored him years ago. His name was Paul, and I just loved Paul. I was talking about moving one time, and he said to me, "Jeff, I don't know what I'd do without you." And you didn't say anything to me about moving. And I said, "Well, I'm really not obligated to run that by you. And then I realized what he was talking about. He was telling me, I think, that he was concerned with my health, that he wouldn't know what to do if I weren't here. And I said to him, Paul, I can tell you what I would hope you would do, and that would be that I would hope you would be there for Bev and the kids. And he said, that's what friends do, huh? And I said, yeah. And about a week later, he died in a motorcycle accident. And I remember the words coming out and going, that's what friends do, huh? And so watching the guys at La Mesa Men's, where we get into action and we're there for the family and we do what we're supposed to do. We try to become better people. It's what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I try to become a better man. I have been so blessed. I have, in Alcoholics Anonymous, I have made money, had quite a bit of money, lost a lot of money, and come to find out that I'm okay either way. Don't get me wrong. I like having money more than I like not having money. I'm not an idiot. Okay? You know, but I've learned to be okay. And that's something I never thought I would ever be, is okay. For the longest time in Alcoholics Anonymous, I used to look in a mirror and I used to think Elephant Man. And I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you at all. You know? And then one day I look back and I can't remember the last time I thought that. But it used to consume me. I used to think, man, what a loser, you know. Remember talking to my sponsor about that too. He said to me one time about that I would be so hard on myself, and he said, you know, Jeff, if anyone else treated you like that, what would you do? And I said, I'd kill him. And he said, yeah, and you'd probably get away with it, you know. But no court would convict you the way that you treat yourself. It's time for you to start treating yourself a little bit better. And I think that's kind of where God comes in, you know. We ask for some help and we try to see the good. And that's what I see, what I try to pass on to people is I try to say, look for the good, you'll find God. Just keep looking for the good. The guys in the book study, this little book study, and we meet on Wednesday nights, and, you know, I get so much joy out of that. And I look back at what 31 years ago and I'm thinking to myself, I would have never visioned myself thinking that this is fun would be to have 11 guys over at my house reading the book. But I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be on a Wednesday night than with those guys, you know. Well, I'm heavier than I meant to be tonight, man. I don't know where I'm... My friend, for some reason, there was... when I came up tonight, I think maybe the last time I might have been here, my friend Barb spoke here. And Barb passed away here not too many months ago. And I remember laughing so hard and loved her so much. And I thought of her story because we used to tease her. One time I was at work and I was talking to a guy and he had said that he was from Blythe. And I thought, nobody's from Blythe. Except for my friend Barb. And I said, hey, I got a friend from Blythe. And he said, oh, what's her name? And I said, her name's Barb. And he says, oh, you know, Miss Blythe? I'm like, Miss Blythe? No, it's Barb. You know, and he says, yeah, no, you know, her dad's a principal and she has these sisters. I'm going, no kidding? Miss Blythe? I can't wait to ride her with this one, you know? So I remember she came walking in. We were having a little get-together and I got to use the voice a little bit, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce Miss Blythe, you know? And the funny thing was, is that she was so embarrassed with that, and later on, shortly before she died, actually, she pulled me aside, and she said, because I kept saying, how come you're embarrassed about that? How come you don't talk about that? I mean, I would think that most of us would want to be bragging about, you know, that's Miss Blythe. And she had told me that she thought that this other girl deserved it more. God, how humble is that? I don't got that one. I don't have the humble thing down just yet. You know, doing better. Anyway, when I was really new, I wrote a poem. You're going, crap. But I got the mic. I'm doing it anyway. So, and what I had decided was that first year is I'm going to write a new one every year to describe what that year was about. I haven't. Got the same one 30 years now. I came to you troubled and hurting deep inside, not giving you much to work with and wanting a free ride. You took me in anyway, showing me the way, not living for tomorrow, but living just today. I am no saint, my fortunes aren't just yet, but thank you for some sanity, for that I am in debt. Thank you very much.